Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic.
Hey.
Housekeeping. We will only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. You can sign up for email or listen to previously recorded meetings on our website at simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. This is not to embarrass you, just to get to know you. Okay? At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing Step 4, Part 1, Resentment Inventory. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Morgan T. and Aaliyah. I will read the first paragraph on page 63, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Page 63. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principals with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? And Aaliyah is going first.
Good evening, family. My name's Aaliyah, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Aaliyah.
My sobriety date is February 14th, 2016. Seems so long ago. I have a home group, Westside Young and Sober. We meet Tuesdays. We're currently on Zoom. We meet on Tuesdays at 7:30. You can find that information on Tidewater Intergroup. I have a sponsor. She's on Zoom. I sponsor. And I try to be of service to the District 14 service structure. I don't say that to brag. It's just I take some interest in other things besides myself these days, which is important because prior to taking interest in other things, I took interest in myself and I drunk over the interest of myself a lot. I checked off step one. My life was really unmanageable because of my actions. I didn't know I was powerless over alcohol until one day I didn't want to drink and everything in my body was like, no, you know, you need to go drink. And I was like, no, like it was an argument, a sincere argument about this drinking or not. And the mind won. And the same fear, the same frustration, the hopelessness, the despair and everything was still there after I drunk. I realized, hey, this stuff isn't working anymore. And I just lost that fight against myself. Maybe I do have a problem with this alcohol thing. Then just to forget that and drink incessantly for couple of weeks until I came to Virginia, which brought me to my step three moment, but I wasn't formally introduced to step three until I went through it with a sponsor and seeing what life was really like without alcohol in my life on a daily basis, which was really screwed up because I learned I didn't know how to interact with the world. So after making a decision to go along with these steps, at first it was just really the people in these rooms. I was praying, but it was really the people in these rooms who gave me courage to continue on and set out on this course of vigorous action of house cleaning. I've never done that before, which it tells me. You've never done this before. So it's like, oh, these people know what they're talking about. Liquor was just a symptom, and I did have to get down to causes and conditions. I was very hostile. I don't like to be slighted. If I feel like you are not listening to me, I raise my voice so you can hear me, you know, like what I'm saying is going to get through to you because I'm speaking louder. So you should be able to hear what I'm saying. And I try to enunciate everything so you can feel only that smaller while I'm telling you what's going on. See, that's not proper behavior. Like people in the world don't really act like that. You know, you have conversations and it's like even kill. You don't have to raise your voice and, you know, you don't have to do all of that. But when you tell me resentment is a number one offender, I get that. I've been mad my whole life. I have stories upon stories in my head of why I should be mad about things. But you put things to it like self-esteem. Don't know what self-esteem is, you know? So like going through this with a sponsor was necessary. My ambitions, I didn't know what ambition was. I know the things that I want, but like ambition, like what does that mean to me in my day-to-day life? Like, what does that look like? I didn't know what that means. It's especially in regards to resentments. Why can't I just be mad because you slighted me? You know, my pocketbook. I never knew I was really upset over money unless you owed me money, you know? My personal relationships, aside from with family members, I mean, I feel like I legit have a reason to be mad at people for slights. Mostly it's slights. But then after getting through the book a little bit, I realized like some of the stuff I probably created in my head, like, could I be wrong? When my sponsor first told me that, I was just like, what do you mean, could I be wrong? But like, after a while, it was like, could I be wrong? You know, could I be wrong about some of these things? You know, I know, probably not. But she did tell me, and it tells me in this book that, you know, I have a spiritual disease. And that my resentments is the number one offender that blocks me off from that. And that once I straighten out spiritually, mentally and physically, I'll straighten out too. Cause I came to you physically broken too. It wasn't just, you know, that I was beat up by alcoholism. Like I still deal with physical illness. They're not as acute as they were, but I had physical ailments. So like that gave me hope too, you know? And so my sponsor and I, we went through this whole self-security. What does that mean? Like all of that. We went through all of that and I have a better understanding, but I don't want to take up too much more of its time.
Okay.
I thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. I'm Morgan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Morgan.
Hello, everybody. I have a sobriety date. It's November 15th, 2013. This is my home group. I have a sponsor who is aware that I am alive, that we talk with on a frequent basis. It's not just a by name thing. And I sponsor other guys when they ask. So first off, if anybody here is new, anybody on Zoom's new, you're probably thinking, what the hell does this have to do with the fact that like I can't stop drinking? Because that's what I thought when I used to sit in AA meetings, like not knowing, just basically thinking that this wasn't for me, you know, and telling people that this didn't work, and telling you how dumb it was, and I don't want to hear about your stupid God thing, you know, like the list goes on, all the excuses. In reality, I had never tried doing any of this stuff that was in this book. You know what I mean? People would suggest that it might be a good idea if I wanted to feel better, that I should probably do that. And I just kept digging it deeper and deeper until I really got to the point that I did not have a better idea, like most people. I love that. Like I got sober in Richmond originally, had some, you know, nasty court case stuff going on in Virginia Beach when I first got sober, moved to a recovery house out there. And, it's funny, like talking about step four, cause like up there, everybody like equates the fourth and fifth step together. And don't get me wrong. They are a big thing together. You know what I mean? But like three and four are even bigger together. You know, I don't think that I honestly took the third step until I started writing a fourth step. And that is really what it was for me. You know, I went my first 3 years up there before I moved down here, kind of picking and choosing what I wanted to do of AA. You know, I had a sponsor. I worked the steps, you know what I mean? But like left a lot of stuff out on the inventory that I didn't think was necessary to tell somebody, you know, did stuff like that, made some amends. I would help other people if it was convenient for me. You know, like I'll give you a ride home from that meeting if I'm driving by your house, you know, but I'm not going out of my way, you know, like all of that selfishness and stuff like that was still there, you know, and it got to the point for me, and I hadn't really been praying or anything like that, wasn't really sure what I believed in. But really what it took for me was having that experience of just like half-assed doing AA for almost a full 3 years, to get absolutely miserable and like absolutely miserable, like moved back here, not because I wanted to move back here, moved back here because my dad was having some health problems. And I, at that point I hadn't even been to a meeting in like 2 months, hated everybody when I did go, you know, point out, oh my God, that guy's saying the same thing he said for the last couple of years. This is obnoxious. Hate him, hate her. She sucks. All that kind of stuff. And I find myself in a position where I'm acting, behaving, exactly how I was before I stopped drinking. Where that led me was debating whether or not I should buy a gun and just end it completely. You know, I moved into an apartment on Graydon Avenue alone. And I, you know, was just left with myself. And I didn't, I ended up deciding, I don't know, call it a higher power moment or something like that, if you want, but I decided it'd be a good idea to maybe check out this meeting that's right up the street. And it was this meeting when we were meeting at the other church. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll just go make some friends there, you know? But in that period of time, like in that dry period was like the first time I had ever really started praying. I don't even know what I'm praying to kind of thing. Long story short, the guy that introduced himself to me that night at this meeting, I ended up asking for sponsorship because I was absolutely broken down and I didn't want to drink again. And I really, quite frankly, I'm too scared to actually kill myself. I would have ended up drinking, really. So what I'm trying to get to is I had to be that broken, dead ass sober to actually want to honestly take this step. And I think that's honestly when I took the third step was when that time when I started writing that fourth step where I wasn't going to hold anything back. I wish that we like cut this not four readings at once because it's kind of a lot. All right. So, oh yeah, sweet. You got the, I don't even have to pick it out because it's like half paragraphs and stuff. All right. I'll pass it to you next time. I will pass it to you next time. All right. being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations. You know, when I'm like, it takes me putting a lot of this down on paper to really see these common patterns. And what's really funny to me is, what is it down? Yeah, down here when we're, when it's talking about, was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sexual relations? Before I came over here, I was actually like reading through a couple, I've got a couple inventories that I had written in a binder. No, don't burn your inventory. If you're new, that's the dumbest thing that you could ever do. Don't do it. Some of those names are going to probably be on your eighth step list. So just take that out of your mind now. People, some people did that when I lived in Richmond. So I'm just here to say you might need that list. There was a very common thread on that inventory that I was, both of those inventories, I was just rereading over. Ambitions was in everything, every single thing. You know what I mean? That's because I think that I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do because of this situation. You know, you're messing with my ambitions, you know, my selfishness, what I want all of the time, you know? And I, you know, before I had ever written this, I couldn't see that, you know, I thought I was a pretty nice person, you know, but basically, hold on. Yeah. And honestly, this is kind of like, before we go any further, when I was writing this, it just the grudge list part is just kind of like, can kind of mess my head up a little bit, because it's just like, oh, this person, oh, I hate them. This is why I hate them. Oh my God. And then I'm just like festering over it. You know what I mean? But honestly, you can get kind of in a role. It's just kind of like, screw that guy. And then you can get in a role and actually do it. Writing this really only takes, you know, a handful of hours once I'm actually doing it, but it takes me trying to figure out, like, do I have the right size notebook for this? Or like, you know, like
what color pen?
What color right pen? You know what I mean? You can't get two different, you lost that one pen, screwed. It's got to take a couple of weeks. You got to go find that exact one, go buy that exact one. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but I, once I was really beaten up enough, I could actually sit down and do this with a clear head and actually write this out. Let's see if I want to keep blabbering or not. No, I think I'll stop there for now. Yeah, thanks. Maybe I'll go back to it. You never know.
I already know what I want to go back to.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to continue on page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. We're going to continue on page 66. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die.
You guys are so kind. All right. I just want to say, going back a little bit, that I didn't jump straight into my fourth step. I was very unhappy when I did my fourth step, which my sponsor said it needs to happen for me to surrender. Because if I'm on cloud nine and I jump into my fourth step, I'll probably give some rationalizations and justifications to some of my my old ideas and resentments and so on and so forth. It goes with what Morgan said about being totally beat down. And it's not into my fourth year of sobriety that I realized what my self-esteem was. I had no idea what self-esteem was. My sponsor taught me as much as she could, but self-esteem, that was something I had to figure out for myself. And that's when I figured out I yell because I grew up not feeling heard. I was because I'm a female, you're seen, you're to be seen and not heard in my family. I kind of grew up in a pseudo-Islamic household. My mom doesn't believe in organized religion, so she's like a pseudo-Christian. It's pretty weird. But, you know, my dad, you know, you're seen not to be heard and stuff like that. So, like, my opinions don't matter. So, like, I don't care what your opinion is. My opinion's right. You need to listen to me. Da, da, da. So when my self-esteem is threatened, my security is threatened, all of my defects pop up. I'm good to hell what it is. So I went back through my life. Once I sat down and did this, and nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. And the first thing apparent is that people were often quite wrong. My dad was often quite wrong. He was a big factor on my inventory. I have not thrown out my first inventory. Like, I've kept all of my inventories because those same people pop up. You know, all the time. I just did an inventory and that man is still on my inventory. They pop up, you know, and but that's usually all I see is where they are wrong. It's not because it's only because of this program that I can at least talk to someone try to calm down enough to where I can get to a place in inventory and see what the try to have a different perspective. I don't know if did I skip? I think I skipped. Anyway, y'all didn't hear that. But there has been times where my anger in early sobriety, my anger has gotten out of control. There was one time I was still in a service. I'll tell this story. And my superior had got me mad. And it was one of those tit for tat things, you know, it's like, well, I'm not in your department anymore. Why are you bringing your foul to me? This doesn't make any sense. I'm not under your tutelage anymore, you know? And I blew up. I blew up to a friend who's not in the program, but I blew up to a friend. I'm like, man, it makes me want to shoot up that whole office. I got back to the building, got up chain of command, and you know, and I was feeling remorseful afterwards because it's like, damn, I'm not going to shoot up the building, you know. But it's like, I got quarantined to half the building. I couldn't muster with my division. I could, so a whole thing transpired after that. You know, and but that's a result of my actions. I handled myself poorly. It's a poor choice of words, especially for someone who's not in the program and doesn't understand. Hey, people just blow up sometime. I don't mean I'm gonna shoot up the office, you know. But the more I fought to have my own way, the worse matters got, especially in that situation, because it was a tug and pull for at least a year and a half. My sponsor, no, she's on this. But in that relationship was like a fever on my brain. Like, that's how unhappy I was. That's how resentful I was. I would make it through the work week. Well, I'll go to work. I'm thinking about the situation when I'm at work. I get off of work, it's still on my mind. I can't make it through the weekend without panicking and freaking out about this woman and having at this work situation. I mean, she made... I'm thinking I have scripts on top of scripts for this woman. There's no room for a spiritual experience because I'm not allowing myself to turn it over. I call myself turning it over. I done took it right back before I even said, God, please, it's already back. Like, it's a fever on my brain. I'm incessantly thinking about the situation. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drank again. I mean, by the grace of God, I didn't, but that blow up happened. You know, I could continue to have blow ups and continue to reap consequences. And with us, the drink is to die. Well, I could have got prosecuted with the UCMJ. I could have, you know, a plethora of things could have happened to me. It's not so much that, you know, boom, this situation happened. Oh my God, I'm just going to drink. Like, things lead up to that. And that could have been the case for me. So, yeah, I don't want to skip.
Thank you very much.
Allowing me to have the writing this time.
Resentment? A touch of resentment.
I'll talk to my sponsor.
Happy to give you a reason to write inventory.
Oh my God. All right.
All right. We were finished. We considered it carefully.
Yes.
First thing apparent was that this world and this people and its people were often quite wrong. And that's where I used to love to sit, you know. How dare they? You know, it was always, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
You know, I must just have such bad luck with the human race in general. You know, everything felt like a personal attack, really. Always. And I always wondered why. The usual outcome was people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. So I, it's funny when I look back at that, at the last two inventories that I had written, like an hour or so ago before I came over here, I was looking on there and I'm like seeing some of the names and they're like people that I hang out with today, like friends. And I'm like, there was actually something there. You know what I mean? Because it's funny because doing this step, I can't even remember. I'm like reading some of the things down the list. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like disgusted with myself. Like how did that even happen? Because it's just not there anymore, you know? And that's a result of doing this. And then there's others that, like Aaliyah said, continue to pop up over time, you know, time and time again. Right now, I keep threatening my sponsor with like a mini inventory just on a few separate names. My sister, basically, long story short, we work together. We're great together a lot of the time. We're best friends, kind of always has been like that, except for like at the end of my drinking and we didn't speak for a little while, but that's beside the point. You know, we work together and there's always little things that I find, you know, that just feel wrong to me, you know, like I'm there all the time. She's not, you know, so there's little things like that that continuously pop up that I probably need to put pen to paper to. And the weird thing about this is things will go good for a while. And then I start feeling like, oh, okay, you know, like we're on great terms again, we're doing fine. And then a situation happens and all of that stuff starts boiling back up again, you know? And that is why I need to continuously do this. I hate to say it, if you're new, this isn't a one and done thing. I thought it was a one and done thing. I thought if I just, all right, I'll write this, I'll be good, I'll be cured, and that's not the case. You know, there's step 10 also, but there's sometimes you gotta take it back here for some of these that continue to pop up a lot, you know, and put it back down on paper. So instead of threatening that, I might actually write those few names. It's probably about time. I've been threatening it for like the last 3 months. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. Oh my God. Have you ever, I don't know if I'm like the only one here that has been in a situation where you're trying to just force, you know, the outcome that you want, you know, and all of that time and energy that went into that and you actually achieving what you want, mm-hmm. and just totally being completely unhappy with it. Honestly, in some cases, feeling worse than if it wouldn't have gone my way, you know, that is what happens when I'm sitting in this kind of stuff. It is plain a life which includes deep resentment leads to only futility and unhappiness. It's just, it's so funny. It is really funny to me. I can like smile at that now. Because when I first got sober and I first reading this, it just seemed so weird to me. Like I didn't even know I was that resentful of a person. You know, I didn't know I had any resentments. I didn't, you know, I was always like the, oh, you knew? Lucky
no,
you.
No, I knew I was mad. Oh. Aaliyah knew she was mad.
See, that's the thing. I wasn't that pissed when I actually, all right, I was pissed at the Virginia Beach Police Department for arresting me. I was a little bit pissed at them, you know what I mean? But I wasn't really mad at the people around me. And I think that there was a lot of, I think a lot of the resentments were deeper than I thought, because I used to just kind of brush stuff off because I was scared of losing the friends that I had, you know? And I couldn't see that until I started doing this kind of work, you know? I was a very loyal friend, you know? I didn't steal from my friends. And that's weird because, you know, I was a pretty hardcore junkie too. And I didn't steal from my friends, but I would steal from the people who really loved me, like my family. I will pawn the hell out of that jewelry, believe me, you know? Because I know that they'll take me back. It just blows my mind. And that was, okay, that was, yeah. We're gonna turn back to the list now. All right.
Yeah, we're going back to the list.
Yep.
All right, we're still on page 66. We turned back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one.
So I'm about to be free. This is about to be an experience I've never had before. I've only known who I was mad at and why I was angry, but I was limited to 8 to 10 words. Anything other than that, I'm lying, I'm justifying, I'm rationalizing. And then I put down why. And now I've, you know, parts of self and my defects. So I've learned in this process that other people, my mom says this, other people don't have a program, but we're blessed with a gift. And other people don't have this gift. And that, and then my sponsor says, tells me about the soul sickness. The only thing that's really coming to my mind right now is what my sponsor had told me about people that I have a real hard time, really, 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 really hard time accepting within our society. And I have a prayer in the front of my book, and it's in front of my inventory book, and it's God, please help me have a heart for them too. I feel like crying. Like, it's powerful because it's like those individuals are sick individuals too. And I wouldn't want to treat them in the way in which I feel they should be treated. Because they're God's kids too, and their symptoms disturb the hell out of me. But the best I can do is to ask God for me to have a heart for them too. Besides, I don't want the consequences of not being helpful in the future to said individuals or any individuals because of my behavior or whatever actions I may take to that group of people. But to other people, like that first class. There's been plenty of times where I have made amends to the woman who I've had that struggle with for a year and a half. There's been plenty of times where I've said the angry pair before work, during work, after work, in the bathroom, in the car, in the hallways. I've done that. There's been times where I've done it in doctor's offices. There's been times where I've done it. I've done it in a lot of places. I really, 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 really have a problem with being slighted. So like that was my touchy point when I first came into the rooms. I've really had a problem perceived slight bothered the hell out of me. So it was a lot of listening for tones and, you know, being hypersensitive. You know, we are sensitive people. And so there was a lot of that. I did my best to avoid retaliation and argument, but I can assure you that there's been a lot of times I've been on the phone with my sponsor telling her about the argument or the retaliation that I have done, because that day I didn't pray. I didn't do the angry prayer. And I might have to make an amends to someone, you know, eat some crow. It's not something I really like to do. I don't do it often anymore. You know, I've gotten a lot better. I've gotten a lot better. Only because I don't like to apologize. I still don't like to apologize. Did we stop there? I do try to take a kindlier view and more tolerant view of each and everyone. It's just what I've learned is just because someone else is having a crappy day doesn't mean I have to apologize in kind. Like other people have feelings too. And I used to think that everyone ran on my time. Everyone's emotions ran on my emotions. So if I treat you nice, that means you must treat me nice. And if you're not treating me nice, we got a problem. Like, we got a problem. I'm gonna let you know we got a problem. You know, it's just, it's not healthy. It's not, and it's a lot of work. You know, one of the things, this is how sick I was. And this is before I came to Virginia. This is when I was in North Carolina and I was starting to realize there were other people in the world. Like I used to, when I was in the car, like I used to look in other cars, like they're not going where I'm going. They're not doing what I want them to do. Like they have their own lives. They have their own thoughts. They're driving to their own location. That's how screwed up I was. Like everyone ran on my time. You think what I want you to think. You're my minion. This fourth step helped me learn that my ego is way too big. I'm really not that powerful at all, not even in the slightest. And I'm really the hole in the donut here at this moment of my sobriety. I'm really learning all the things I am not. So, yeah, like even when it comes to my anger not even justified. Not even for the people I feel my anger should be justified towards. It's wild. It's wild ride.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Turn back to the list for it held the key to the future. And it's like, shit, I've got to look at this from a different angle now. You know, it's like asking me to be compassionate about these people. You know, I don't know what being compassionate's like. I just feel like everybody's been out to get me, you know, whether or not they know it, for my entire life, you know. So it's asking me, in other words, to have a little bit of compassion here and realize that though I do not like the way that some of these people are acting and how that they've been treating me, maybe they're sick too. It's kind of it kind of hits me with the, wow, I've been pretty selfish my whole life kind of thing, you know? It's crazy because, you know, and I can still be guilty of feeling certain feelings today. I can recognize them as a result of doing this, but just the sheer selfishness that I feel like I'm the only person in this world, and you know, you're in my way, you're getting in the way where I need to go, where I need to be on a day. I mean, and I can do it behind the wheel of a car today still. I'm not perfect, believe me, you know, but but through doing this, I am able to see things from not just my skewed tunnel vision perspective of life anymore, you know? And you know, I find myself less and less like butting into situations, telling people what they need to do, you know? And it's really funny how everywhere in this book, you know, like when I was sharing on the first paragraphs, I talked about, you know, how I would be helpful to you if it was convenient to me. And that is all up in here, you know. It's like, hey, maybe you should look at this from a different angle. Realize that, you know, people are human beings here, and, you know, they might be going through some stuff that you don't know, that really is none of your business. They might be having a bad day. You know, it's not an attack on me. and you know, maybe don't be a dick today, because maybe you're going to need to help that person down the road. You know, maybe you're going to be the one that, maybe that person walks into a meeting that you yelled at in the convenience store one day, and y'all really recognize each other's faces because you lock eyes. No, this isn't a situation that actually happened. I'm good at painting a picture of something like that happening, but you know, I had a good thought. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't want to treat sick people that way. We do. It's not like it says, if we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. That sounds pretty intense to me. That doesn't sound like, hey, you know, like maybe they'll forgive you. You know, it's like, you could just totally wreck this here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think back to one of the big resentments that was on, on the like first real inventory I did. And it was about this kid that I was like best friends with. And you know, we hadn't been hanging out for like a couple months. And long story short, this dude, along with like a whole gaggle of people in a car, ended up robbing me. And, you know, it was, that stayed something in my head. You know, I mean, that messes with my pride, you know, like, obviously the pocketbook comes up. I know I'm jumping back, but through doing this, like I can safely say I don't hate that guy today. You know, and the weird thing about that is I have in passing ran into that person. Whereas before I got sober, I probably, if he was by himself and not with a gaggle of people, I probably would have punched him in the face, you know? I've actually run into that guy a couple of times, and it's kind of like a head nod. I don't think any of us, you know, felt the need to engage in conversation, but that's not eating me up today, you know, and all of the fear behind that has been basically removed in, you know, what we'll talk about next week. So, you know, I love this thing about being helpful, you know, like doing this inventory is going to, oh damn, it's 7:50. All right, I'm gonna chill. We got one more thing. All right. So basically doing this inventory is gonna get me outside of me and get me in a position to be able to help you better. So let's go on to the next one. Sorry.
All right. This is our last reading of the night. We're on page. What's happening?
Nothing. There's just a little beetle. Keep going. I'm sorry.
My legs have been itching really bad the whole time.
No, he's a little
bit. Okay. We're on page 67. It's the last reading. Referring to our list again. I'm so distracted now. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Y'all have like 6 minutes, 3 minutes
each. All right, I'm gonna make it quick. This part is easy. Yeah. From my first inventory to my most current inventory, most of my resentments, the result of it is I'm always afraid of looking bad, and pretty much the occurrence was none of my business. I used to be mad at God for taking my grandparents away and me not having a chance to meet them. It's none of my business. Pretty sure it's not God's fault. But I was angry with him. So I was dishonest about God, self-seeking, and I mean, afraid. Why would I want to do business with someone like that? My most recent inventory is my dad. My uncle passed away here recently, and he has 6 kids, and my dad didn't procure anything for any of my nieces and nephews and decides to take whatever my uncle has and wants to sell it, but take half of the profits. It's none of my business, but I feel like you shouldn't do that. The money goes to the kids. Why would you do that? You know, and I'm afraid he makes me look bad. I'm self-seeking because of course I'm going to talk crap about it because I'm afraid he makes me look bad and I don't think it's right. And but it's still, it was none of my business. There's a lot of things on my inventory. It's absolutely none of my business, but I am stark raving mad about it. No question about it. The inventory is mine. It's not the other person's. And there are reasons why I'm upset, but when I honestly look at it, it's either none of my business, my prestige or my perceived prestige is threatened. I'm mostly afraid and I care about my own prestige. That's really what it is. And I would have never known that if it wasn't for this fourth column. I'm glad I know what's in the parts of self, because I never even knew how to accurately assess anything. All I knew was I'm mad. I only had like 3 modes of feelings when I came in here. Hungry, chaka-chaka mode, and angry. That's all I got for you. Oh, and sleepy. That's all I got for you. I don't got anything else. So those were my 4 operation modes. So you mean I got more modes? You know what chaka-chaka is, girl.
Sex.
Shh. Anyway, I would like to thank Simple Actions for inviting me here to cause a little chaos on your Monday. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Aaliyah.
All right. Chaka chaka. I love that. I'm keeping that one. Yeah. All right. So I, you know, this is like the ever elusive fourth column to the inventory. Some people say my part. I don't really like to say my part because then it kind of makes it seem like, you know, they, you know, it's, I'm kind of trying to look at this with where was I to blame, not my part kind of seems like they're to blame in some sort of way for my resentments. So I was looking at this too, before I came over here, and so much self-seeking and dishonesty and fear in all of this. What you whispering
about? Sorry, nothing.
You got me messed up. So this is where I really do see a common trend, more of a common trend of just all of these resentments. I seem to feel a certain way or be affected in a certain way. You know, the situation can just be slightly different, but the way that I feel and react to things seems to be the same. And I see this common trend. And then when I tell it to a sponsor, he kind of points that out to me, points out what I was suspecting here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is truly a freeing experience, you know, and I absolutely despise the fact that people come into AA meetings talking about the big bad fourth step. Because seriously, if you're like on the fence about this, if you've been here a while, need to write inventory, if you haven't, if you did what I did and left out a bunch of stuff on that inventory, I highly recommend getting with a sponsor and actually taking this step, because people told me I would get a lot of freedom, but this is really where the true freedom came to me in AA. You know, like I was actually able to be content a little bit, you know, and not saying it like immediately went away, because that's just not how things work in general, even though I want them to. But this is really a truly freeing experience. I love talking about the fourth step now, which is something that I did not expect. Yeah, and then you've got the fear and sex next week, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's also one I never thought that would be fun. You know what I mean? But it'll be a great get some chaka chaka on them.
Hey,
yay! All right, I'm going to shut up now because I'm just rambling. All right, I love you guys. Thank you, Amy. Thanks for asking me to talk tonight. Thank you.
All right, we're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. I don't know where it is. Elizabeth's got it. You can sign up for email on our website, simpleactions.net. There are PayPal links, Venmo links. I don't know what else, but it's all there. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose: to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety, our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA related announcements? No.
Nah.
Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. We'll hook you up. Home group members, raise your hands. Literature is available on the table to my left.
Hand sanitizing station.
the hand sanitizing station, multitasking area. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. You can also email, if you're shy, info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. We mention that a lot. Simpleactions.net. I'm not saying anything.
Was meeting. That email though?
Info at simpleactions.net. All right. The Chaka Chaka got me way off. Hey. I'm moving slow. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd Street and Colonial Avenue. In closing, please join me in thanking Morgan and Aaliyah for sharing tonight. Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to say thank you. And Jason has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. Right on. We're going to stay in our seats and close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Y'all were great. I'm telling you, I didn't know.